Thank you for joining us. My name is Lisa Trevino. I'm joined here with Tom Glad, and every Wednesday and Thursday, we go through the manual for teachers. And right now we are on the section 6, Is Healing Certain, on page 20. And I'm going to open with a brief prayer, and then Tom is going to read, and he's going to share, and then I'm going to share, and then it'll be open up to sharing from anybody in the group. You just have to think, raise your hand, and join us. So let's take a deep breath. Get into gratitude for the Holy Spirit for bringing us together as we continue our search for truth and miracles. We affirm the presence of the one true teacher who is here among us and who speaks to and through each one of us. We affirm that what we hear here is what we were meant to hear and what we are ready to hear. As we seek guidance from the Holy Spirit in all that the Holy Spirit can use, speaking through books and songs and brothers, everything. We set our intention for this hour that we wish for our minds to be healed as we talk about healing and how we are truly helpful with our brothers and how healing is accomplished. Let's take this moment now to rest in the awareness of His presence, and let's do this in silence. Amen. So yes, so thank you for joining us, everybody in the room, and those of you on the radio, or those of you listening to this recording on gentlelessons.com. We are on page 20 of the Manual for Teachers in the Foundation Version, and it is section 6, Is Healing Certain? And right now I'm going to turn it over to Tom. Tom?
Is healing certain? Healing is always certain. It is impossible to let illusions be brought to truth and keep the illusions. Truth demonstrates illusions have no value. The teacher of God has seen the correction of his errors in the mind of the patient, recognizing it for what it is. Having accepted the atonement for himself, he has also accepted it for the patient. Yet what if the patient uses sickness as a way of life, believing healing is the way to death? When this is so, a sudden healing might precipitate intense depression and a sense of loss so deep that the patient might even try to destroy himself. Having nothing to live for, he may ask for death. Healing must wait for his protection. Healing will always stand aside when it would be seen as threat. The instant it is welcome, it is there. Where healing has been given, it will be received. And what is time before the gifts of God? We have referred many times in the text to the storehouse of treasure laid up equally for the giver and the receiver of God's gifts. Not one is lost, for they can but increase. No teacher of God should feel disappointed if he has offered healing and it does not appear to have been received. It is not up to him to judge when his gift should be accepted. Let him be certain it has been received and trust that it will be accepted when it is recognized as a blessing and not a curse. It is not the function of God's teachers to evaluate the outcome of their gifts. It is merely their function to give them. Once they have done that, they have also given the outcome, for that is part of the gift. No one can give if he is concerned with the result of giving. That is a limitation on the giving itself and neither the giver nor the receiver would have the gift. Trust is an essential part of giving. In fact, it is the part that makes sharing possible. The part that guarantees the giver will not lose, but only gain. Who gives a gift and then remains with it to be sure it is used as the giver deems appropriate? Such is not giving, but imprisoning. It is in the relinquishment of all concern about the gift that makes it truly given. It is trust that makes true giving possible. Healing is the change of mind that the Holy Spirit in the patient's mind is seeking for him. And it is the Holy Spirit in the mind of the giver who gives the gift to him. How can it be lost? How can it be ineffectual? How can it be wasted? God's treasure house can never be empty, and if one gift is missing, it would not be full. Yet is its fullness guaranteed by God. What concern, then, can a teacher of God have about what becomes of his gifts, given by God to God, who in this holy exchange can receive less than everything? Very interesting. Jesus talks about giving healing to our brothers, sharing healing with our brothers. You know, that's pretty practical if you ask me. And again, you know, Jesus is talking about having a relationship with the Holy Spirit in your brother's mind to support healing and to give healing to your brother. Obviously, he goes on to say that it is not you who gives the healing. It is the Holy Spirit in your mind who gives the healing to itself in your brother's mind. And then corrects both your mind and your brother's mind. That's a miracle, my friends. Only that is a miracle. That is forgiveness. So, he also speaks of the fear of healing. That sickness is cherished, and if the sickness was taken away suddenly through a miracle, the patient, aka your brother, may actually commit suicide because he has lost the point of his life, which was, he thought, to be sick. So the healing must wait until your brother decides that he wants healing. And so that takes patience, trust, and complete faith in oneself and in your brother that the healing has been given and received. Now this is, you know, like Jesus is talking very specifically here about our function of giving healing, of sharing the atonement. So, as much as, you know, we like to say our brother is healed, whole, and perfect, well, he's not healed, whole, and perfect if he's not aware that he is healed, whole, and perfect. Hence, the miracle. It steps in between the evil dream and reality and corrects. And you can't skip this correction. You can't. So, what else is he saying here? Well, yeah, he speaks of patience, of trusting the Holy Spirit in your brother's mind, that he is there and has accepted the gift you have given. I'll read this again. Healing is the change of mind that the Holy Spirit in the patient's mind is seeking for him. And it is the Holy Spirit in the mind of the giver who gives the gift to him. So, like he's saying flat out, I want you to heal. I want you to be healed and to share healing. And that puts this in the practical realm, not some fairy tale spiritual wonderland where everything is healed, whole, and perfect. Come on. What kind of world are we living in here? If everything is healed, whole, and perfect, we won't need the Course in Miracles, would we? And I'm not saying, I'm not saying that everything isn't heal, whole, and perfect. What I'm saying is that if we're not aware of it, then it being that way is meaningless to us in our perception. So in steps the miracle and correct that perception. So basically, Jesus is saying when you give healing as the Holy Spirit gives healing, the healing is certain. It cannot not be received, it cannot not be accepted, it may be a matter of time. And in general, it is a matter of time. So, let us be patient and watch the fruits of our work unfold in the world, and let us trust that we are healed as we give healing away. So, wait, let me just see if there's anything else I want to say about this. No, I think I got it. I'm gonna drop the mic for you, Lisa.
Hey, good morning, everyone. There's several things that have popped out for me in this reading, and again, if anybody wants to share on this, please raise your hand. One of the things is in the first paragraph, having accepted the atonement for himself, he has also accepted it for the patient. Yet, what if the patient uses sickness as a way of life, believing that healing is the way to death? Healing must wait for his protection. It's really important that we don't decide for ourselves whether our brother needs our help or whether or not he's ready for it, because we might think that someone's not ready when they are, and we might think that somebody is ready when they're not. And it's more important that we don't decide for ourselves, don't tell ourselves what's going on with our brother. Otherwise, if we are married to a story, it's something that we need to heal. We need to be more of a clear channel and step out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to tell us what to say and what to do and trust in that, knowing that in that healing, we are really healing our own minds as we help our brother. We are strengthening what has been healed in our own minds as we give to our brother. And what's really cool about this is that everybody has been through both parts of this. Everyone has been in a situation or a time period where they themselves had their own resistance. And if they hold in their mind, not the pain and the suffering, literally, like they live in it, but the memory of what it was like to go through what they went through. They will know what is not true, as well as they will know what it feels like to be in that kind of resistance, to feel that kind of fear, to have that kind of compassion with true empathy, where you know the truth. You know that whatever it is that caused your upset before and your marriage to your own suffering before was not true, and either is what's going on with your brother, and you hold that truth and you're happy for the solution, but at that same time, you don't have an unrealistic expectation of your brother, a condition in there that he needs to somehow wake up because you've woken up in that area. And again, like we said yesterday, we are not responsible for, but we are responsible to. And it's really important that we don't come from that arrogance, that place where we think we know. Because the purpose of healing is really to be healed and to be present and allow spirit to speak through us for our brother is the greatest service that we can give ourselves. And it goes on to say that. But the resistance, and what I was trying to get at is, it's not to focus on, you know, the fact that we were sick, etc., like that. It's really just to say, well, we all understand that the resistance is the only reason why we had suffering. And we could see that when a brother is in resistance, just as we were, that the defense grows with the seeming help given. They seem to side with the illness. They seem to side with the sickness, as we did, defending it because they identified with it. And so what they actually think they are getting in that moment is an attack. They have identified with illness. They have identified with sickness, and they feel attacked. You are not being helpful. And so to know how to be truly helpful, one must really get out of the way and not decide for themselves. And that's why we can't decide when the miracle is supposed to be given and how it's supposed to be given. It's not up to us. We can only ask and be open and be ready when we're guided, when we're prompted to show up that way. So there will be times when I will be guided not to say something to somebody, not to do something, when my mind will think, oh, I think I should, blah, 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 but nope, I'll be pulled back. And there'll be, and this happens even more than the other, but in conversations where I'll start speaking and there'll be a yeah, but, or yes, but, and in that moment, the Holy Spirit will direct me whether or not to continue with whatever, or change the line of speaking or something, or just sit back and just go, uh-huh, it's not really up to me. And that's the thing. Now, if I have an investment on how it turns out, if I have an investment on my brother, quote-unquote, getting it, that, again, is my arrogance. I've stepped in the way. And it goes down in paragraph 3, where it says, no one can give if he is concerned with the result of giving. Please understand that the giver does not lose. The giver always gains. Always gains. So if you go into any situation with your brother knowing that as you give, you receive, period, then you don't have any condition on your gift, which makes it not a gift. You're not in charge. You don't know what's needed. You do know that you have one who does know, who uses you for both of your own benefits in that moment, and you may not know how that shows up in your brother. Look into your own life and you'll know how many times something has come across you. You've heard something. Somebody has said something, or you read it or something, and it planted a seed. Now, you were not ready at the time to hear it. You were not ready. Not consciously. But what that seed did was hit a spark in your subconscious. Was hit a spark where there was doubt and where the knowledge of the Holy Spirit is. That is within you. to start the wake-up process, to start strengthening the truth against doubt. You never know what the result is of your gift, even when you think you do. Even when you think you do. There has been many a time when I've spoken to somebody and I've been guided to say something and the light's gone on and it was a powerful moment and I'm thinking, wow, you know, that was the result of what I just did with the Holy Spirit. Is it? It is. And yet, not entirely. You see, because there's a process and my brother was ready, open, and willing in that moment. In that moment, he was able, in that moment, and ready to hear the truth, in that moment. But that's my brother. That's the Holy Spirit in my brother's mind. And that's the Holy Spirit in my mind showing up, but it's just a piece of it. We need to know our part in this, and not to get in the way, and to take a stance of arrogance in this. It's really important that we don't get in the way of this, because what ends up happening is we hurt ourselves in the process. We'll actually teach ourselves the error, because what happens when we're arrogant is that we'll actually look at the illness and focus on the illness and not see our brother truly. We'll focus on the error and see the error and not see our brother truly. And we'll think that we're helping our brother, but what we're really doing is strengthening the error in our own mind. So that is why it's really important that we step out of the way. Now, we can also play the martyr. What do we want in return for our supposed gift? We want appreciation, adulation. We want them to worship us or need us. There's so many needs that an unhealed healer can bring to the table that will block the healing in his own mind. And so it's important that we come without conditions, without expectations, without an agenda. No one can give if he is concerned with the result of giving. It is the relinquishment of all concern about the gift that makes it truly given. And it is trust that makes true giving possible. So again, love is without conditions. It's not conditional. Gifts are not gifts if they have small print to them. And as we give freely, we know we have it. If we give conditionally, we have a price on it. And then we don't believe we have it. We're coming from scarcity. And the last thing I'll say is that we heal by healing. We do it for ourselves. We don't necessarily literally do it to or for our brother. It is not the separate identity self that helps our brother. The Holy Spirit within my own mind reaches to the Holy Spirit in your mind that's working with your mind and uses my mind to help your mind, because in that moment, my mind has woken up in that area. And the Holy Spirit can speak through it, but you're still hearing it with the Holy Spirit in your own mind. And if I am doing this without condition, if I am doing this without arrogance, then you will know it is not me, in a sense that it's not you. And in that is the joining, because in that is the acceptance of the atonement. And when my brother is ready to heal, and he does wake up in that moment, in that area, he recognizes the sameness, just as I do. He recognizes that we are the same, that we are one, that he has it within him, that it is not for me to have his power, so to speak. So what concern, then, can a teacher of God have about what becomes of his gifts? We need not be concerned that our brother doesn't seem to get it. We need not be concerned if our brother doesn't even appreciate it. We need not even be concerned if our brother doesn't seem to be listening. If we feel guided in whatever way that we're showing up, know truly that this is for you, for your own acceptance, for our own acceptance of the atonement. We always get by giving, but not in the ego's way. The ego's way is, I'm going to get the appreciation, and I'm going to get worshipped, I'm going to get their undying gratitude for my kindness. That's the ego's way. So, in that, by not focusing on the illness, by not focusing on the fear and the doubt, by not having expectations or concerns or conditions for it, that is how healing is certain. And Dove has written a lot on the board. He says, we only see and hear when we are ready to see and hear. Till then, I hear only what judgment tells me. The script is written. I do not know what anything is for. Anyone under the level of willingness and courage cannot hear now. They cannot hear as they do not want to now. It is like talking to a wall. And see, the cool thing is this. So why is it that you might be guided to say something to somebody or be with somebody that doesn't seem ready in your mind for whatever judgment that you might have? Well, first off, you can heal that judgment that you have. And second of all, at that same moment, by showing up, you are testifying of the peace and joy that comes from release. You are literally living as the example of what lies as they start to unclench their fists to what they think their source of salvation is. They see that you're at peace and they say, how? Why? They can't help but notice that the one thing they want, that joy, that love, and that peace, is not something they have, but that they see in you. So we don't attack, the Holy Spirit doesn't attack, but they do notice that there is a difference in the way that they feel than in the way that you do in that moment. And they end up starting to let go of wanting what they have and wanting instead what they really have beneath it, which is the peace of God. And by living as that living demonstration, again, we strengthen it in our own minds. So, if anybody wants to say anything before we go on, thanks, Dove.
Yeah, thank you, Lisa. That was really, enlightening. I was thinking just now of something that Tom said. He was talking about does healing have to be repeated? And he said, you know, it is not given to the teacher of God to evaluate the outcome. And of course, I think that is where we get caught up. We don't even have to see that our brother can't hear us. That is part of an evaluation. I fall into that trap a lot. Just that we see our brother as ourself. Basically, I'm always speaking about myself. This is pretty much that every encounter is a holy encounter. As I see him, I see myself. As I treat him, I treat myself. So if I know that a lot of people don't like the Dr. David Hawkins levels of consciousness, in which Hawkins does say if you're below the 200 level, they don't want to be helped right now. Now, Jesus says the exact same thing in the section that we just left, section 5, How is Healing Accomplished? He says, unless you want to know the perceived purpose of sickness, you cannot be healed. He says the exact same thing. NTI Matthew says the exact same thing. So there is, a certain level in which, I'm talking about myself. I remember for years I lived my life like, all of this was all BS anyway, so, I don't have to listen to this. Words are words are words, and, I went to church and synagogue enough to know that I don't have to keep listening to the same words. And then all of a sudden, one day, you hear, I'm talking about myself, it happened when I was about 32 years old, it happened in May of 1972. All of a sudden, I had an awakening, and I said, my God, the golden rule is true. It's not just a bunch of words. So until you actually have that, I guess you have to be removing willing to remove the veils of defenses. That's exactly what they are. And for me, it took hours of orgasmic crying to actually let all that poisons and toxins out of my system. And that's when I received the three words, love the truth, and the understanding that the golden rule is real. And until then, you know, it's like going to church on Sunday morning, you know. Isn't that nice? And then you go out and do your thing. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Dove. That's why it is helpful, like I said before, to, in a sense, know what the power and the reason for the resistance is, and not try to fight it. The Holy Spirit doesn't fight it. Jesus doesn't fight it. Jesus says he has infinite patience. He says your tolerance for suffering is high but not without limits, and there is no such thing as time, and it's all accomplished, and he'll wait. So to have that kind of patience, which is necessary for the teacher of God, is to realize that it is, and that the resistance is the only thing that's causing the suffering in the brother, and the resistance is the identification with the separation. The identification with the illusion, the identification with the sickness. When we don't have patience, it's because we have a condition. We need it to be something other than it is. And whenever we base our peace of mind on whether or not our brother behaves or is seemingly other than they are, we are attacking, and we are attacking ourselves, because we have attacked our own peace of mind, and we have told ourselves that something needs to change. We are projecting whatever is within us that has not healed, making the mistake of believing it's our brother that we are so annoyed with or so disappointed in. Like I said yesterday in yesterday's talk, that just like we need to see guilt in our brother and ourselves to be innocent, we need to see sickness in our brother and ourselves supposedly healed. We need to see our brother not getting it and complain and why won't they get it, etc. Well, why do you have a need for them to get it, quote unquote, in the way you think they should, when you think they should? How is that? Again, it's an arrogance and it's a projection. There's something within our own minds, then, that we are not wanting to look at, and instead we want to deflect and project and look at our brother, how our brother is not doing whatever, XYZ, to avoid looking within our own mind. Whenever we have a problem with anything our brother is doing, and I mean whenever we have a problem with anything our brother is doing, we are projecting. The fact that we have a problem with it, we are projecting. And so it's a real insidious thing, because it slips into the whole healing and being helpful with our brother. And it's really important that we recognize what it means to be truly helpful. It means we need to be able to not have a story, not have an agenda, and not tell ourselves we need things to be a certain way, because we are not in charge of that. And if we feel like we need to do that, it is because something is being avoided and looking at within our own minds. And that's a favorite pastime of everybody that goes through this process at one point or another, has that tendency to look to their brother and say, oh, well, you know, I'll just work on you. Really? Well, again, it's the same error. We have to go within. And when we go within and we heal, then we're able to turn to our brother. But for the same purpose of going within, we're coming neutrally to our brother, knowing that whatever is guided to say will be said. Yeah. And Dove wrote, my bio clock is running, may not have time to birth Christ. And Carrie wrote, someone has a problem with what I am posting here almost every day. Yeah, well, then that's their problem. It's not a cold thing to say. It's really part of everyone's curriculum. When somebody needs to focus on what someone else is doing and having a problem with it, or feeling like they need to fix it, etc., it's that anxiousness, that need to be right, that need to be healed while their brother is sick, but the brother has to be sick. They have to be needed. And then Hazel wrote, "The need to be right." Yeah, I'll heal me through you. You know, and in a sense, yes, it's true that we do, but in a sense, we don't. If I'm looking to look at you and not me and not recognize that it's my stuff that I'm seeing if I have a charge to it, you know, and that's the key to realize. How do you know when you are being neutral, when you do not have a story, when you do not have an agenda, but you do not have a charge? If you are agreeing with the illness, you're agreeing with whatever the illness is showing up as, that's when you know there's something within your mind that needs to heal. But even in that moment, step out of the way, detach from what you think you know, and the Holy Spirit will heal your mind as He shows up for your brother. You'll be amazed at the things that come out of your mouth or ask for you to do. Really, when you look back, you go, "Whoa, I needed to hear that," or "I needed to see that," or "I needed to experience that for my own awakening." Again, remember that healing is always for yourself. We do this for ourselves. We really do. This is for our own atonement. And we accept the atonement by knowing and seeing our brothers as ourselves. So we take them with us. But only as they're willing to show up, only as they're ready. And the last thing I'll say about this is that it seems to be that there is this linear line of healing, and there really isn't, in a sense that we've talked about this in the manual for teachers, where there are certain areas where we're not going to trust the Holy Spirit with yet. So there are areas that we'll turn over to the Holy Spirit first, and then there are areas that we'll hold a little bit more closer to the chest because we really want to just wait and see if we can trust. And this is part of the development of trust. And so what's so important about this is that everybody has different areas. So while, let's say, Dove is working on one thing with the Holy Spirit and healing that and ready to heal that, and Carrie is ready to heal something else, or she has already healed this other thing that I haven't healed yet, and so we're all working from our own curriculum, and that's how we're so intergistically available for each other. Because where I've healed, I'm able to really show up neutrally and allow Holy Spirit to heal through me. And where my brother has healed, he's able to share the message with me and back and forth. It's not a linear thing. It may seem that in one area somebody is so much more evolved or awakened, but in another area they have stuff that they're still healing. That helps us also see each other as equal in the process, even as our brother heals all of it. Realizing that we all have the same situation that we go through in our awakening. And it may not look literally the same, and it won't be in the same order in many ways. But at the same time, knowing that, Carrie says, "There's a frantic need to make my brother the sick one." And Dove says, "There is no someone, there is only me, speaking about me, no exceptions. I am always speaking about myself and telling God what I think of her." And she says, "Right, Dove, I am seeing a witness for my belief that I am guilty, a witness for the belief that something is wrong with Carrie." Exactly. This is an analogy I've used many times, but if we plant a plant in the ground, we don't necessarily see the results. We may think it's not working. We may think that it was too much dirt or fertilizer or too much water or whatever, and we may think that whatever we did either was too much or too little. And we don't really know. We're not trusting, and we're needing to see proof of the miracle. We're needing proof because of our own doubt. But when we have gardened for a while and we trust the process and we trust intuitively what happens, we know that what's happening below the surface, below consciousness, below our ability to see it, is not necessarily nothing. That there is a stirring that happens beneath the surface. And just when somebody ends up getting it, quote-unquote, a lot has happened before that moment. A lot of loosening of the beliefs in the world, and in sickness, and in doubt, and in separation. And strengthening of what the Holy Spirit has to remind us of. Before there is that point where we all of a sudden click, and something happens where we get it. And it'll come from many, many, many different places. Several people will say the same thing in a different way. Seeds planted. And if any one of those people have a need for there to be instant gratification in the healing like that, having that immediate reflection of something happening, they will lose their own peace, but the message is still given. The message is still given. And so the brother will wake up. because all is provided. But in that moment, the one who gave the healing really doesn't recognize it is for himself. So Tom has his hand up and dropped the mic.
It should also be said that if we make the mistake, any one of the mistakes that Jesus talks about in that section we just read, it doesn't mean that we broke something. It doesn't mean that we have made, it doesn't mean that the healing has been taken back. All it means is, like, Jesus is telling us, like, if you're gonna lose your peace as you're sharing healing with your brother, this is why. But it doesn't mean that the healing isn't being shared, that it isn't effectual, because he says, how can it not be effectual? It was given by God to God, you know? So that's important, not to beat ourselves up for making those errors. And just always, you know, trust and listen to the Holy Spirit. That's really the only friggin' way to do it. The message is heard to the ability that the brother is open, able, and ready, and willing. But how much he is not up to us, nor for us to see necessarily. Yeah. So, yeah. I think Jesus ends up talking about that in the next section, actually. Miracles are done through the Holy Spirit, and certainly not through the ego. So, you know, ego likes to get involved in everything, hijack everything. Anybody want to take the mic? Lisa has her hand up, thank God.
Hey, I'm going to go ahead and close, unless somebody else wants to take the microphone. We have about 9 minutes if somebody does. Neither Tom nor I are getting any guidance to continue this right now. So let's take a deep breath and close our eyes. And take our minds off of errors and focus on Holy Spirit and say how grateful we are that even though we might have resistance, judgments, identifications with our doubt, separation, and illness at any given moment, it's up to us when we want to heal, but that you are in our mind and in the minds of our brothers, helping us all to awaken and accept the atonement together. And thank you so much for removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence by showing us where they are and what they are, by helping us to see them as nothing. And thank you so much for guiding us to show up for our brothers and for ourselves, so we can experience the holy instant and every encounter as a holy encounter. I'm totally grateful for all of the times when we come together for teaching, for learning, for healing, for being healed. All the unlearning that we do of all the stories that we carry. All the release of guilt and fear. Let's take this moment to acknowledge the truth that we are not separate, that we are one, and let's do this in silence. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. Amen.